Let's go to Psalms 126. I'll get you started that way. Let me give you a little bit of an update on Cindy Davis. I did communicate with April late last evening, her daughter, and Cindy is on a breathing tube. They are going to try to begin to take that out and wean her off of that today, and they haven't transported her. She's still in regional. They haven't taken her to IU. They were able on Friday to do a kidney dialysis and get about half of it done, and then they did finish that up yesterday, so they feel like she's in good shape there. Of course, they're checking her heart, lungs, everything. And so the goal for today is to try to get the breathing tube out. You pray for Sister Cindy. She just needs our prayers and our help, right? God's help right now in her life. And so I wanted to give you an update on her and let her know, let you know what's going on with her. I am scheduled this Friday to be able to go up to Indianapolis and get that 2-hour infusion, which hopefully will boost my immune system and my white blood count. And so I'm being a little bit careful between now and then. Doctor said stay away from people. And yeah, that's easy to do. So, but I thought, you know, I need to take this to heart. I need to be serious about it. So Friday night, I just said, where's the place I could have the least chance to run into anybody? And so I drove out and got up in my deer stand and stayed in my deer stand for a few hours just to avoid people. I'm just trying to follow the doctor's orders, just trying to do the right thing. And, you know, so anyway, yeah, you said you went deer hunting? Yeah, I went deer hunting. I mean, come on, you could set your recliner at home or you can go out and set in a deer stand. To me, that's a no-brainer. So anyway, we do appreciate the extra prayers. And thank you for that. All right, good. Psalms 126. I guess if I was to name this psalm, I would call it the soul winner's psalm, the soul winner's psalm. And we'll read it all together, and then we'll teach down through this morning. Psalms 126. What a wonderful psalm. What a psalm of great encouragement. And I like when we see these promises of God, these things that God just says, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. And, you know, I love the fact that we can kind of just settle in on this. If we do our part, God will do his part in this matter of bringing people to himself. Psalms 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we study this psalm. And Lord, a short psalm, and yet it's so power-packed. And thank you for the promises. Lord, thank you for the joy that we, read about in the first handful of verses. And to be in captivity and then to be set free, oh my goodness sakes. Lord, just pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to revisit the day that we were set free. And Lord, help us never to lose the joy of our salvation. And again, Lord, we pray for every class and every teacher, Lord. I looked around this morning. We're such a blessed church. Thank you, dear Lord, for every opportunity, every single week that we have to influence the children, dear God, not only the children of the families that are here, but children who would never have an opportunity to be in church, to be under the preaching of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that the word of God would find good soil. And Lord, it would produce fruit in their lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Excellent. Good. All right. Psalms 126. We want to give, I think that if I gave a purpose for this, we are going to focus quite a bit on verses 5 and 6. But we want to get a renewed vision for soul winning. You know, folks, I was told a story this week by Brother Nichols, and Brother Jared Wilkes has taken over our Bible Club ministry, Wednesday night Bible Club ministry. Him and his wife are doing a great job out there. By the way, I don't know if I told you this or not, but Jonathan Morris and Ella Morris, Jonathan's leading the children's choir now. You probably saw that when they sang the other night. Ella's playing the piano for them now. And it's good to see some of our young people step up in these positions and just, and they're having a time, just enjoying themselves. And when I called him, you know, I think I caught him a little bit of a deer in the headlights, but now that they're into it, they're excited and they're doing it and all of this. But Brother Nichols was telling me that Brother Jared Wilkes, he challenged the young people pretty strong the other night about this idea of passing out tracts. It's been a few weeks ago. And I don't know, Brother Nichols told me, I don't know, but it lodged in the heart of Jalen. And he said, she's just turned into a track passing out fanatic. Now, Jalen is their oldest daughter. And why do you say that? Because, it's hard enough to remember all of your grandkids' names. I don't expect you to remember every kid in the church, but she's the little blondie, the oldest of the Nichols girls. And she just is going crazy passing out tracts lately. And to the point where he's like, if she's bored, she'll come up to me and say, Dad, can you just take me up to Dollar General for about 15 minutes and let me pass out tracts? Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. That is pretty neat. So he was telling me this story, and they like Taco Bell, okay? Now, folks, Taco Bell is not Mexican food, okay? Just everybody in here, I think if you have any understanding, it is not Mexican food. It's Americanized Mexican food, but they like going through Taco Bell. Well, I guess they've got this thing going now with, they're so regular there. I hope I remember where I'm going with this story. I don't know if I will or not. They're so regular there going through the drive-thru that now they've played this game where they always order like crazy stuff that's not even on the menu. They're just messing with the people constantly in there to the point where every time they pull up, they figured out, oh, this is the crazy, you know, the crazy guy from California and his family that just moved here that, you know, just likes to have fun. So he went through the drive-thru, and they were having fun over the intercom with them, and then they pull up the whole family to get the food. And then everybody comes to the window to talk to. By the way, folks, it's okay to be human. Are you listening to me? You know, it's okay to be human. It's okay to be real. It's okay to have a good... You can be saved and smile. You can actually be saved and have a good time. You really can. There's no rule. I checked the Ten Commandments again this morning. You don't have to be a sourpuss to be saved. You can enjoy yourself and have a good time. By the way, that's what the world needs to see. You know, we're going to talk about the joy of the Lord here a little bit. But anyway, well, while they're pulling up, Jalen's badgering her dad, make sure you give him a track. And the one lady came to the window and she's waited on him several times. And he said, you know, I've never invited you to church, gave you a track before. And so she started asking all these questions about it. I don't know, folks, whether she's here today or not. But he told me yesterday this story. And he said, you know what? She took that track. I told her about our young adult class. She looked at me and said, this Sunday, 9:30, I will be at the church. I will be in your young adult class. I hope she's sitting out there right now, you know. And, you know, it was a good reminder to me. You know, sometimes folks, come on, children have a way of reminding us about some basic things, don't they? And I think that's one of the great things about the ministry here is the number of children that God's blessed us with. And, you know, the simplicity of their faith, the purity of their faith, you know, sometimes just the idea of just simple obedience. Oh, okay, we're supposed to do that. Let's go do it. You know, I hope that part of my Christian life I never lose where, you know, I just want to be, I guess, just like a obedient child to my Heavenly Father. And so anyway, I thought that was a great story. I hope that she's here this morning. I hope I get a chance to meet the taco drive-through lady later on today. And so think about that. The first part of this psalm, we see where God turned Here's the phrase in verse 1, turned again the captivity of Zion. And Zion had gone through a time of oppression. Zion had gone through a time of persecution and captivity, but God turned it. God turned it. And you know, even though this is talking about a city, folks, I think every one of us can see that not only did God free us when we got saved, but how many times do we allow ourselves to become captive in some area of our life to the devil or to his influences? Come on, maybe we go through a time of discouragement. Maybe we go through a time of backsliding. Maybe we go through a time of just, you know, not caring like we ought to care. Come on, apathy. Apathy is something we have to so make sure that we're careful about in our Christian life, you know. And we go through that, and then God kind of works in our heart. And I'm still thankful. I just want to say this out loud. I'm still thankful for this book. I'm still thankful for what God does in just morning devotions through the years, reading the Bible, where God will just hit a little reset button in my life, in some area of my life. Sometimes it's reading our Bible. Sometimes it is the preaching of the Word of God that just tweaks an area of my life and say, Lord, you know, I've gotten away in that area. I've gotten cold in that area. And there's just something about, but there's times when we become captive and we need to have that turn. Sometimes, you know, folks, we can just get the wrong attitude. And next thing you know what? We got a bad attitude and we walk around in our mind mentally justifying it all the time. And the whole time the devil's over in the corner laughing because, you know what? We're not having the influence for Christ we could have if we didn't allow it. But you know, we all go through it. Listen, we all fight the same junk, okay? And so we get into these places and the devil kind of has a victory and maybe holds us hostage for a while. And then all of a sudden, God breaks through. His sweet Holy Spirit deals with our heart. And aren't you glad how patient God is with us? And through the preaching or the teaching of the Bible, or watch this, the example of a little girl. All of a sudden, God wakes us up in an area and say, you know what, come on now. If a little 8 or 9 year old girl can be that excited about passing out tracts, maybe I ought to grab a few on the way out and just get back to doing that this week. And so, but you know, there's a joy that comes from that. You know, when the devil's winning in your life, you know what comes with that? Depression, discouragement, watch this, defeat. And that's where he wants you to stay. But when you allow God to turn again that captivity, notice what happens. Verse 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Now, it's interesting. It talks about laughing and it talks about singing. You know, has the devil stole your laughter? Has he stole your merry heart? Listen, I think we ought to be quick to laugh. I think we ought to be quick to smile. You know, you have to, folks, look at the lighter side of life. You know, I preached a message years ago called Laugh or Lose It. Laugh or, you know, sometimes you got to make a decision. You know, you're either going to smile about something, laugh about something, because there's nothing you can do about it anyway, or you can sit there and lose your mind and lose your faith. And so, you know, this laughter and this singing, all of a sudden, God just brings revival. Every one of us from time to time need a little bit of personal revival. Amen. We just need God to kind of swoop in with something. We need God to kind of, just give us something. You know, folks, the Sunday morning service last Sunday morning, you know, that Jehovah Jireh thing. You know, I hope it was a blessing to you, and I hope it was a help to you. But you know what it really was? You know what that whole thing was all about? Me going through where I was going through in life, Friday reading my Bible, Friday God directing me to that story, Friday God reminded me about that truth. The Lord sees, and the Lord will see to it. And all of a sudden, it's amazing how the laughter came back and the singing came back and the smile came back and the confidence came back. Listen, we all get there. Amen. We all get there, you know, because everybody's going through tough things. Everybody's going through tough things. And so from time to time, we just need to ask God, give us that revival. Give us that turning. Don't let the devil, folks, hold you hostage. I mean, come on, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So it's almost like if he's holding you hostage, it's because you've got to let him do it. Because you have the Spirit of God inside of you. You have the power of God inside of you. And so we have to make some decisions about what we're going to let the devil do in our lives. And so we have all been there. We've all experienced. I'm not throwing rocks. I've been there. You've been there. But boy, it is great when all of a sudden God turns that captivity. And so the Lord has freed us all. He did it when he saved us, you know. But also, even after that in our Christian life, there's times that he has to come in and rescue us. And so, what is the result of that? You know, their mouth is filled with laughter. Their tongue was singing. Man, I just don't ever want to lose the joy of my salvation. I mentioned a minute ago, that's what the world needs to see. The world's not going to be won by discouraged Christians. The world's not going to be won by backslidden Christians. The world's not going to be won by defeated Christians. You walk around like that, the world watches you. What do you think they're thinking? You know, I don't want whatever they've got, you know. But they ought to see us. And I believe the Christian people ought to be the happiest people. I think they ought to be the ones that are smiling. I think they ought to be the ones that singing. I think they ought to be the ones that when you walk into Dollar General or Walmart or a gas station, there's just something about our countenance. Listen, let's live on the victory side. Preacher, it's not always easy. Well, let's look right up here. Let's do something hard then. Let's do it when it is easy, and let's do it when it's not easy. Let's do it on purpose. And so why? Because the Bible says, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. And folks, you know what? It's God that's going to get the glory. Listen, I don't want to be like that so people think great things about Jerry Ross. I want to be like that so people think great things about my God. He said, look, the Lord hath done great things for them. One of the young couples that has started coming as a result of one of our big days here recently and have stuck in. They're probably, him and his wife, probably out in the young adult class right now. I've been on the phone with him texting back and forth and calling a few times and just trying to be an encouragement to him. And anyway, Travis back there, you get a chance. He usually sits in the back row back over there. You try to go by and introduce yourself to him, get to know him a little bit, him and his wife. And, one of the things that he said to me, he said, you know, when we first started going to church, he said, I wasn't even sure, you know, if I believed in the Lord. I wasn't even sure if I believed in God. But he said, you know what? Me and my wife sat down one day and I looked at her and said, honey, you know what? We spent our time. Come on, folks. I love it when people are honest. We spent our time in the bars. We spent our time running around with the druggy crowd. We spent our time with all kinds of nonsense like this. What has it done for us? And then he said this. Now think about this, folks. He said to his wife, where are the happy people? Where are the people that have good marriages? Where are the people that whose kids are what we hoped our kids would be? He said, they're in church. Let's just go to church. What's it going to hurt? And you know what? Since they came, both of them have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, folks, listen to me. You and I both know that that's just not an automatic switch and everything starts going right. Matter of fact, a lot of times, the time I've been spending, you know, on the phone with them and stuff is because, you know, people get saved. They still come in with some baggage. They still, you know, come on, folks. There's still consequences of sin. And you that have been saved out of the world, I don't have to tell you about all that. You know. And sometimes, seems like after you get saved, the devil even fights double on you, you know. And you think, well, good, I got saved, everything's going to go right. And all of a sudden, it just seems like now everything's going wrong. But that's all right. That means you got his attention, okay? And it gives you great opportunity to find out what the Lord can do and what he will do. And so that's why we've got to cheerlead these new families, folks. You say, well, I don't know which families are new. Just stand up, look around, and go to everybody that doesn't look churchy. Okay? Because it doesn't matter. By the way, when my mom and dad started coming to church, they didn't look churchy either. You know, Lori certainly didn't. Bob and David were a mess. I think the only one that really kind of looked a lot like Jesus was, well, I don't want to say the one that shall not be mentioned. But I know I'm waiting for lightning to strike me right now, but that's why I'm having this pause, kind of praying for it, you know, even so come quickly. But anyway, but you know, folks, this is exciting stuff. This is exciting stuff. This is what we are in this for. This is why we're doing this. And so, you know, it's just fun to see that a new person in Christ begin to experience the joy of the Lord and victory and change in their life, even with all the struggles that come with it, even with all of the attacks that comes with it. You know what? Why they're so happy? You know why they have that laugh? You know why they have that song? Because they were in captivity, Psalms 126. But then the Bible says, all of a sudden, God turns that captivity and their mouth is filled with laughter and their tongue was singing. And people begin to notice. Then said they among the heathen, the lost people, all of a sudden, what in the world happened to her? What in the world happened to him? And all of a sudden, there's a change and an opportunity to influence others for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord hath done, this is what the heathen said, the Lord hath done great things for them. And so, verse number three, they go ahead and agree with it. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. What is the source of our happiness? What is the source of our laughter? What is the source of our gladness? What is the source of our singing? Well, we turned over a new leaf. That's not it. Well, we got religion. That's not it. The Lord hath done these things. Folks, you know, I like this so much. I had a good conversation the other day with one of our young men, and we were talking, and we were talking about several people in the church where we've just watched over the last, you know, year or so, God just kind of, you know, folks, just slowly turn this thing, and all of a sudden, we just see this change and this excitement, I was telling him, I said, you know, that's the reward of the ministry. Listen, folks, you got to understand. This will help you, those of you that are working with people. Maybe you work in, you know, our Sunday school teachers aren't in here, but you work in Bible clubs. You have to understand if you're doing anything that's involving ministry, there's the human part of it that God expects from us. But there's the supernatural part of it that only he can do. Now, we need to be faithful in what God's called us to do. Hey, let's preach the Word of God. Let's teach the Bible. Let's give them the Bible principles. Let's show them how to be successful. Let's show them how to get victory over sin. I mean, you can teach and teach and teach and teach and teach and teach and teach. But I said, listen, you know, that's the human aspect of it. You know, there's a God aspect of it that only he can do, the supernatural working of God in a person's life to begin to open their heart and to change them and to enlighten them and to give them the want to and the desire to grow in the Lord. And you know, that's kind of the neat part of the ministry. You got to be faithful in doing what you're doing. But, you know, how many times you hear your preacher say, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Now, labor, we're going to talk about that in the morning service a little bit. Labor's important. It's a big part of what the Bible commands us to do. But, you know, listen, you can work and work and work and work, and if God don't get into it and get involved in it, and we don't rely on him to do the supernatural, you know, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. And there's it's so neat to really just work in people's lives, to give them the Word of God, and then to see the power of the Word of God in transforming somebody. You know, to pray over them and then see God begin to answer those prayers, to have them call you or text you and say, hey, we're battling this and we need an answer, and to be able to give them the verses listen, there's a human aspect of discipleship that is our responsibility. But you know what, folks? God has to do something. God has to do something. We have to let him do it, you know. And again, we get all kinds of situations. You wouldn't know who it was. And so I can kind of say this, but, you know, there's a young adult lady, you know, in her 20s, and she's been reaching out, and her life's kind of a mess, and she's needing this and needing that, needing this and needing that. And so, you know, what, say, preacher, what do? You help people. That's what you do. As much as possible, you help people. But one of the things that she kind of threw out at me and my wife when she was texting and wanting help was this. She said, you know, we need help in this area. They need some financial help. They need some food and stuff. And then she kind of put this in the text. You know, I attended there for a lot of years as a young person, almost like, well, I did that, so you owe me this. Is the mentality of the statement. And I didn't do this. I didn't do this. But I thought later on, I wanted to say, you know what? Text back and say, well, I'm sure glad you did. Did you listen to anything? Did you obey anything? You know, just, I'm sorry, folks, just walking in the door is not going to change your life. You got to do something with what God is trying to give you. Just sitting in church and staring at the ceiling isn't going to change your life, okay? Going into Sunday school because the teacher promised you, come on, a price for so many Sundays in a row, or the bus captain offers a promotion. Listen, I'm all for that stuff, and if it gets them in here, good. But at some point, you can sit there and sit there and sit there, and you know what? It's like water off a duck's back. And, you know, I thought to myself when I read that statement, and I love this young lady, and I'm praying for her, and we are helping her. But there's a part of me wanting to say, girl, yes, you came here for years and years and years. Why didn't you listen? Okay? By the way, that boy that you aren't married to, that you've got plastered all over social media laying on top of, why isn't he out there working, providing, and taking care of you? You know, folks, listen, I guess, you know, preaching to the choir here. But, man, we invest a lot in a lot of young people. But, folks, listen to me. There's what we can do. And then there's only what God can do. But folks have to let God do it. They have to open their heart. They have to, listen, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. What are we hungering after? What are we thirsting after? And so anyway, all of that's good. Now, most of you have heard the name Harriet Tubman, 19th century slave. During the days, dark days, by the way, in our nation where slavery was legal. But she escaped slavery, escaped to the north. Now, think about that. It's hard for us to imagine that, isn't it? Let's just stop and think a minute. Can you imagine being born into the United States, into slavery? Could you imagine being, you know what, captured and brought across and sold into slavery? And that's the only life she knew. And then all of a sudden, she begins to hear that there is a place where you can go, if you can get there, where you'll no longer be a slave. And so she is assisted in escaping slavery. Now, think about that. Just kind of let that register for a minute. I don't know if I was her, whether or not I just think I would just stay up north and be glad and rejoice and stay as far away from where that could happen to me again as possible. But that's not the decision that she made. You know, she decided that she was going to spend her life going back into slavery states of the South and leading others to freedom. And many of you have heard about the Underground Railroad. And maybe you've toured places that was a part of the Underground Railroad. Now, folks, why do you tell this story, preacher? Because that's verses 5 and 6. Okay, you think about this. Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Verse 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And so here they're rejoicing over the fact that they were once captive, but now they're free. But they realize this, hey, there's still people that are captive. Hey, folks, you may be saved, but there's still people that are lost. I might be saved, but there's still people that are lost. I can sit around the rest of my life clapping my hands and rejoicing, taking my shoes off, slapping them above my head, you know, doing backflips down the aisle, praising the Lord for saving me. And just enjoy all the benefits of it. But wait a minute, there's still people out there in slavery. And by the way, they have an evil taskmaster. They're owned by the devil. Their lives are controlled by the devil. And so, you know what? We got to look back in our past and say, that used to be me, and God delivered me. But wait a minute. What am I going to do to try to... Hey, maybe we just need a spiritual underground railroad system going on where we go back into the areas. We go back into the areas where, you know what, the devil still has slaves. And we tell them that there is a place that you can live free. There is a place where you don't have to live in chains. There is a place where you can experience the joy of watching your captivity turn. There's a place of laughter, and there's a place of singing, and there's a place of gladness, and there's a place you can go where other people will say, the Lord hath done great things for them. And somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to go. The joy of being free, verses 1-4. And then the burden to see others freed, verses 5-6. Let's finish up the last few minutes looking at verses 5-6. And these are great verses when it comes to teaching us about soul winning, the importance of soul winning. Because, folks, this entire psalm, you say, preacher, this is talking about Israel, this is talking about Zion. Don't forget, folks, there is the principles that the Old Testament teach us that can be applied to areas of our Christian life. And this certainly can be applied to soul winning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And several elements here. First of all, go. He that goeth forth, goeth forth. Now think about that. We understand Psalms 28:19-20, Acts 1:8. You know what? The command to the Christian is to go. And you say, preacher, we've heard this 1,000 times. Let's hear it 1,001, okay? You heard it. You heard Bob Ross say it. In fact, I was sitting right over there, second row, and I think one of the funniest things I've ever heard my dad ever say from the pulpit, he's preaching on the Great Commission, he's preaching on the importance of going, and all of a sudden he just kind of stopped and he said, folks, the go in this verse, the go isn't going to get any goier. And I don't suppose I've read the Great Commission since then where I didn't think about my dad had a way of inventing words, you know, that, but I thought, hey, you know what? The go's not going to get any goier. And, you know, again, we've said it 1,000 times. Let's say it 1,001. The command is not to sit and wait for someone to walk in the door. The command is to go and take the gospel to people. And we'll talk about it a little bit in the morning service. But folks, you know, we really are. We're kind of quieting the schedule down. You'll see in the bulletin, you know, we've got some few things planned, but not a whole lot of extra. We kind of, you know, slow things down in November and December. The church has worked hard. I appreciate them working so hard. By the way, one of the greatest, listen up here, senior saints, one of the greatest fall programs God's ever blessed us with, just quietly, God just showed up. And, you know, in six weeks, we had over 120 first-time visitors. Now, let that sink in a little bit, okay? You know, in 6 weeks, we had over 50 people saved. And part of that was we also had the public school youth revival in it. Folks, I don't know if that moves you anymore or not, but that ought to move us, okay? That's a big deal. And I just want to say this. I told Brother Nichols at the beginning of the summer because of some things that we had planned as far as me and Cheryl and our trip and different things like 40th anniversary. I said, listen, I want you to plan this thing. I want you to run this thing. Listen, he pretty much, I mean, he sat down with me and we went over it and I approved the thing. By the way, the pastor's still supposed to be the overseer of the church, folks. I have a lot of help. I mean this, I have a lot of help, but don't go rogue on me. Always get your pastor's approval. What's it going to hurt to send a text? What's it going to hurt to say, hey, pastor, I was thinking about this, just want to make sure it was okay. You know, well, preacher, I didn't want to bother you. You're not bothering me, okay? You're not bothering me. Let me keep an eye on things because, you know what, you see one little slice of the pie, somebody's got to see the whole pie. And what you might think is a good idea here, you don't realize how it's affecting something over here. That's why the pastor is given the oversight of the church. Just a little commercial there, amen. I feel like I got a handful of people that's just decided they don't need to check with the pastor anymore. Well, they're about to find out that they are going to, or I'll find somebody that will. Amen. And so Brother Nichols, he came up with this program. We sat down, we looked it over. Brother Young, I still got to give him credit. Food truck idea guy. That was awesome. A lot of other people came up with ideas, checked in. It's fine, great. Everything went well. But he planned that thing. Him and Tab ran that thing, and they had a ton of help. But you know, folks, I hope you're understanding that God's good hand is on that young man. And folks, I didn't bring him here to be a potted plant. And when I turned 60 years of age, I met with all the men in the church, called us to prayer and unity. I did that very purposefully. Listen, folks, this decade, there's going to be a transition. You understand that? Everybody okay? There's going to be a transition. Let's not any of us let the devil get in on it. Let's not get pride, ego, come on, man worship get in the way. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, you know what God said about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Are you not carnal? Let's not let carnality get in all of this. That's just good for my older group. Come on, I'm relying on you. You're supposed to be the older group. You're supposed to be the mature group. Shouldn't be the ones on the telephone going and helping spread division. Is any of that going on? I don't know. They don't call me. I know that shocks you, but I'm not in the little. They call you Brother Tom because they don't call me. They don't call you either. I don't. Brother Gordon, they call you. I don't know. But I guess they know the ones to call. Better listen to your preacher, okay? Hey, we got some pretty amazing things going on around here. And I don't want the devil to get in on it. So y'all help me. Would y'all help me with that? Is that fair? Good? All right. Good. Thank you very much. But, listen, these things don't happen if we don't go. These things don't happen if we don't go. You know, the go isn't going to get any goier. All right. Weep. How about this? Have we lost our tears? Two times it's mentioned. Verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth. And folks, listen, this is something that God can only do, and can only do for me and you. Listen, I just believe that God doesn't bless dry-eyed evangelism. I don't think God blesses it. There has to be a brokenness of heart. Listen, you don't have to walk around weeping all the time. You don't have to. But I'm going to tell you, I think you know what I'm talking about here. You know, we ought to be brokenhearted over the lost souls. We ought to every once in a while. I think it'd be good for every once in a while. Here's a good question. You know, I'll ask it of me, you ask it of you. When's the last time you shed a tear over a lost soul? When's the last time we shed a tear over a lost soul? I just wonder sometimes if that's the missing ingredient. It's going to talk about sowing precious seed. Well, what waters the seed? Well, I think the farmers will tell you, if we plant in the spring and we don't get a drop of water on the crops, we're probably not going to have much of a harvest. And I just wonder if the tears of the saints are not what waters the seeds of the gospel. Let the Lord break your heart. Ask him to give you a burden for souls. Ask him to give you a brokenness concerning this matter of souls. So we go, we weep, we witness. Come on. Bearing precious seed. We've got the greatest story that can ever be told. The gospel is the good news. And the world needs some good news right now. And so we witness. And then if we're faithful in that, going, weeping, witnessing, going, weeping, witnessing, going, weeping, witnessing, going, preacher, don't seem like it's working. Keep going, weeping and witnessing. Going, weeping and witnessing. Preacher, I haven't had anybody come at all. Just keep going, weeping and witnessing. Going, weeping and witnessing. And what happens? he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Now, I like these next two words. Don't you love it when you can just kind of put your hand on something and go, okay, God didn't leave any wiggle room here. Shall doubtless. You say, preacher, 6 weeks' time, God gave us over 50 people saved. Folks, there was a lot of going and a lot of weeping and a lot of witnessing. And that doesn't happen all the time. I could take you back probably to a couple times this year where maybe we went a whole month and didn't see anybody saved. Listen, and a lot of times you're doing the same thing that you're doing when people are getting saved. There's my responsibility. Come on, what did I say? Then there's the supernatural part that only God can do. I can't do anything about that, but I can grab onto a promise. How about these two words? Shall doubtless. You know, Brother Jack, I was thanking God for Donnie Davis. I don't know why God brought Donnie to my mind yesterday, but I miss him. And Donnie struggled quite a bit health-wise, you know, the last year or so of his life. And now, get this, folks. I want you to just picture this. Jack Gordon and Donnie Davis, every Saturday, meeting and going over and helping doing bus visitation. Now, think about that. And I don't know how many years y'all did that. Quite a few. And now he's going to be upset with me. But I think Debbie told on you. And I was visiting with her, and she said, now, Jack was out with Donnie the other day, and they were knocking on a door and talking to somebody, and all of a sudden Jack got short of breath, and he ended up getting dizzy and had to sit down on the step. Now, who's going to rescue him? Donnie? Let me just say this. I just love it. I didn't love that you almost died. But what a way to go. Amen. I know I'm preaching to the older group. I need to be talking to the younger ones right now, right? But this is the older generation that's been doing that. And some folks in this room, I'm sorry, but John Reiser can't do it anymore, folks. But for decades he did. Okay, Don and Jean can't do this anymore. But for decades they did. Are you listening to me? Man alive, I'm done. Why has God blessed for 51 years, consistently blessed Blessed Hope Baptist Church with seeing souls saved? Because we found a formula. And we just are simple enough to follow it. And we just believe in two words, shall doubtless. Well, the foyer's getting busy. We better dismiss. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful psalm. And Lord, thank you. As a teenager, I was taught Psalms 126 and bought into it and decided to believe it and obey it. And Lord, thank you, dear God, that I have found that you keep your word. Bless the service that'll follow in Jesus' name. Amen.